It was the evening of the Passover. Having celebrated the feast, having instituted the Lord's Supper, having washed his disciples' feet, having prayed the high priestly prayer, and having agonized over what was going to take place, the time has finally come for Jesus to fulfill the Father's will on earth. Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward. The Garden of Gethsemane was the Lord's favorite go-to place with his disciples. It was not difficult for Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, to know that the Lord and the disciples would be there after the feast. But Judas came not alone. He came with a band of soldiers and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. We were not told why Judas had mobilized such a band of soldiers, and in other translations, we were told it's a detachment of soldiers. That would mean quite a number of them. Likely, he was anticipating a strong resistance from our Lord and his disciples. And in verse 4, we see when the people approach our Lord Jesus, Jesus asked them, not once but twice, whom do you seek? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am he. In fact, three times our Lord responded to the inquiry, saying, I am he, ego eimi, in Greek, I am. Ego eimi is a self-disclosure from our Lord to the people, which mirrors God's self-disclosure of himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I am who I am. John, the author, intended for such a connection with the Old Testament for his Jewish audience to understand that the one who spoke is none other than the Son of God himself. This fact that John established is an important one for us, because unless Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God, then his sacrifice on the cross on Good Friday will be totally meaningless and useless for us and for anyone who believes in him. Jesus Christ must be a man to die. But Jesus Christ must also be God and divine for the death on Good Friday to be adequate ransom for the sin of all mankind. And the second fact that John had established here was the great I am was not captured, but rather he gave himself to his captors. And this was done to fulfill the will of the Father. In verses 4 and 11, we see he came forward. Verse 11, Jesus said, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? John wanted us to know that the Son of God was not defeated and neither was he powerless. But rather, our Lord had chosen to give himself up to the captors willingly. The great I am gave himself to save us from our sins. Jesus responded to Peter, saying, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? In other translation, during the same incident, our Lord Jesus asked Peter to put down his sword, and he said to him, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Matthew 26. In 2 Kings verse 19, we were told that one angel alone killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. This is a measurement in for the Romans, one legion would mean 6,000 soldiers. And in this case, one legion of angels would be equivalent to 6,000 angels. And Jesus had 12 legions of angels at his disposal. And that's 72,000 angels. The combined ability of the 72,000 angels, they are able to wipe out 13 million people on the face of this earth all at once. And that's twice the number of the people on earth today. John, the author, wanted to tell us that Jesus is indeed divine and powerful. But he willingly gave himself up to his captors. His death was voluntary. If he had been unwilling to go to the cross, no amount of troops or people or weapons on the face of this earth could force him to the cross. Jesus could have walked away, but he chose the cross to give himself up for us so that we could be set free from our sins. And this, my dear friends, is the amazing love of our Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And now that we have established the fact that Jesus is truly divine in nature, the Son of God, and he had given himself to save us from the penalty of sins, we want to look at this, what this means to us through John's account of Peter's denial. In the next scene, from verses 12 to 27, we see Peter's denial of Christ. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. Verse 15. Bible scholars have no issue agreeing that the other disciple was none other than the author John himself. What was John wanting to communicate to his readers and to us through Peter's denial in this scene? His message is simple. Even the strongest will fear and say, "I am not." Peter followed Jesus to the house of the high priest. While John had entered with Jesus into the courtyard, Peter stood outside. Peter stood outside not because he was waiting for permission to enter the house, nor was he waiting for an invitation, but because his faith was once again challenged. Just as he was called to step up of the boat in the Sea of Galilee. The difference is, this time, our Lord was not there by his side. The impulsive and hot-headed Peter was usually very capable of taking action into his own hands to resolve matters. But this time, he stood there outside the house like a rock. Peter's world had collapsed because his master, his teacher, his Lord was being arrested. Later, with the help of John, Peter was able to enter the house of the high priest. But this did not eliminate or remove his doubts. When our Lord was arrested, I'm sure, questions after questions flooded Peter's mind. Is this who he said he he is. And the picture that John had painted for us in the house of the high priest is one that is gloomy, cold, unfriendly. The servant girl at the door, the servant and officers around the fire, a picture of our darkened world, filled with evil and temptations. And it was in this darkened world that Peter was tempted to sin against our Lord. You also are not one of his disciples, are you? Peter was questioned not once, but twice in verses 17 and 25. And Peter was asked by the servant girl at the door and others around the fire. And notice what was read for us earlier by our sister, the questioning technique, a negative question requiring a negative answer. Both times, Peter deceitfully lied about his relationship with the Lord. And it was no wonder that our Lord had earlier prayed for Peter's faith. I pray for you that your faith may not fear. Luke 22, verse 32. Peter's sharp answer was oku eme, a striking contrast to Jesus' ego eme. Oku eme, I am not. Whereas our Lord Jesus responded, I am. The denial is especially significant in the light of Peter's earlier claim that he would be willing to lay down his life for Jesus, John 13. And when Jesus foretold of his denial, Peter was one who said, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you, Matthew 26. But when tempted, even the strongest of us will fail. And unless we have Jesus Christ in us to overcome the power of temptation and sin, my dear friends, we are helpless. When Peter was confronted the third time by the relative of the man whose ear he had cut off earlier, Peter finally gave in and denied the Lord the third time. Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered what the Lord had said, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Matthew 26. When tempted, even the strongest of Jesus' disciples gave in to the power of sin. This deep guilt of sin against the Lord remained with Peter until he was eventually restored by our Lord in John 21. John's account of Peter's denial is a portrayal of our human weakness in a sin-filled, darkened world. Like Peter, we too often are guilty of having said, I am not, oku, eme. And you may be wondering, when have I said I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ? When we lie at work, when we fail to love our colleagues, our loved ones, when we fail to honor one another, and when we fail to put others before ourselves. My dear friends, we are unable to save ourselves no matter how much and how hard we try. But in Christ, we can overcome temptation and sin and to live a righteous life because God has given us the light of the world. John described that in the beginning of his gospel. He was in the beginning and he is the true light which gives us hope. And we can hope today because God truly so loved us, mankind, regardless of your past, your race, your education, your social status. He has given us His Son, and by believing in Him, we may live and have eternal life. And with this hope, we can now meaningfully and purposefully prepare with gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross for all mankind. And we could look forward to Easter Sunday, to the marvelous resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our hope to an everlasting union with God, our Father. I invite you to spend a moment in quietness to reflect on the meditation, and I'll lead us in a prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, your disciples ran away from you in the hour of your arrest, adding to your sorrow and pain. We confess that we who are your disciples today often run away from the claims of the cross. Forgive us for being so unfaithfully, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, make us ready to take up the cross, to be faithful in the hour of trial, to follow you, even though the way is hard. Amen.